You know, as we just 1 week shy of celebrating our 40+2 anniversary, I think it is good and fitting to ask ourselves, what is a church? All over again. What is this thing we call the church? You know, sometimes we take for granted that we understand what the church is like. And we have got different phrases and different terms to describe the church. We do. It's sometimes called the body of Christ, correctly so. Sometimes it's called the family of God, and absolutely right too. Sometimes we are called the nation. Sometimes we are called the temple of God. And every single phrase, every term is actually correct. But understanding it is one thing. Whether we actually contribute to the growth of the church is quite another. You see, we can speak of being here together. We are worshiping together. And yet, not feel part of the church. I have a special poem that I would like to print and publish next Sunday. It will be in the bulletin. Three different people were mentioned in that poem. So I had to ask them whether I could include their names inside that poem. To describe a sense of oneness, the sense of unity. Well, you'll read about that, about them in next Sunday's bulletin. But it is important that we understand this whole idea of oneness. What are we talking about? 40+2 years ago, even before that, I was asked seriously, when I used to function as an evangelist to go over to other countries to speak and share the gospel with them. And it was a wonderful time of leading people to Christ. And I was asked seriously, and this person, my friend, Douglas Sadler, and he said, Charles, God has obviously given you the gift of evangelism. We've seen you work, and our churches have grown over the years that you spent time with us. And we are grateful. Have you considered being a full-time evangelist? Go ahead and, you know, share the gospel with people everywhere, more than just one country. And deep down inside my heart, my reply was, no, I'm going to devote my whole life to the church instead. Yes, there was the work of reaching out to people. Matthew 28, Jesus says, all authority is given to me. Go into all the world. Make disciples. But where do the disciples go, finally? What is this thing that they are supposed to be part of? And in Matthew 16, Jesus said, I will build my church. It was my understanding of the church over 40 years ago now. That understanding of what the church is has become even more definite, even more concrete, even more certain. What is this thing we call the church? And with these new compliances that we have, we begin to understand that the church is no longer an easy thing. It is complex. And it is complex indeed. But it is comprehensible. And this morning, I very much want to share with you how we can see the church, how we ought to see the church 40+2 years later on. And we're going to take 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning as our text for meditation. And Paul writes to the Corinthian church, and it was a church that was gifted. Paul wrote in the first chapter, and he said, you as a church, you do not come behind in any gift. This church was a mighty, talented church. But there were dangers in those areas as well. Okay? And some of the dangers were very real. In verse 3, he said, you are still carnal. Well, where there are envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? When one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? In verse 5, he says, who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers, servants, through whom you believe as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos wanted, but God gave the increase. This morning I want to help us to understand the church using the imagery that Paul used. And he used it and he talks about a field. This is something Jesus himself conceived of. When he described how it was a sower, he went forth to sow, and some fell on the wayside, some fell on stony ground, some fell on thorny ground, and some fell on good ground. And it's an agrarian imagery. The church is like that field. It is until that church cannot just grow by itself. If you think that a church will just automatically grow, it's not going to work. In Myanmar right now, over 200,000 acres of farmland has been totally destroyed for this year. Can you imagine 200,000 acres of land completely inundated, and they still are trying to sort out what they're going to do next? The first amount of money has been sent to Myanmar already, I must tell you, to try and help the missionaries in the area of the Rakhine state at this point of time. The first amount of money has been sent. But now we're looking at the Chin Hill state as another batch. And where we can't solve all the problems in the country, but we're going to try and focus a little bit more. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, and it's patient work. Somebody has to sow again. The land is destroyed. The crops for this year destroyed. You know what? We have to sow. And the work of the church is always about sowing seeds. It's always about looking for good ground, constantly sowing all the time. And you never know whether you will find the ground, but you keep sowing. And every year we keep sowing. We sow among young people, and some of them are promising, but some won't make it. But some will. It's always in that hope we sow that some will make it. It is sad that some won't, but we keep sowing. And in the work of God, we never stop sowing. We don't stop sowing when they're children. We keep sowing when they grow older. And we keep sowing again and again and again, recognizing that perhaps 3/4 of the time out of the 4 types of field, 3/4 of the work would be wasted, almost. But we just look forward to that 1/4 good ground that will respond. But we sow. We keep sowing. But in the agrarian field imagery, we also recognize that there were some who must look after the plants. That work is called watering. It's just a general word to describe that beyond the sowing part of it, there's a lot of work that goes on in encouragement, in instruction, in fellowship, in guidance, in being there with each other. And we can't do this. I can tell you the session members don't know half the young people. You couldn't. And the children. But every soul is precious. And so we need the committee members, the young people's leaders. We need people who are there, who are able to talk with them, relate to them, care for them. And this is important. Starting September, in fact, started in August, the young people's ministry, my group, young people's group two, will now be shared with the two bands. And I've already sent them an outline, you know, to look at September's ministry. And they're going to be part of it. It doesn't mean that I'm phased out. Oh, no. There are so many more things that I have to do that they're not responsible for. But it is important that they understand what it means to sow and what it means to plant. But in the midst of all the work that needs to be done, the sowing and the planting, it is God who must give the increase. And a lot of people don't understand what it means to have God involved so that increase can come about. You can do a piece of work. How do you know it will be blessed? How do you know it will increase? How do you know it will truly yield the kind of harvest that we would like to see? And it is important that we understand the work of God. This is the church. And so when we teach the Lord's word, when we proclaim the Lord's word, and every Sunday we keep on teaching the Lord's word, not everybody understands, not everybody appreciates, not everybody listens. We're just too busy thinking our own thoughts, talking to our friends. We're not even listening, unfortunately. But the work of God must carry on. It's an endless task. It's literally working from morn to night. Each day, every day, in season, out of season, we work. And so 40 plus 2 years later, we have people who love the Lord, people who feel, yes, this is the work of God. We want to be committed to that church of God too. But not everybody will understand this. Not everybody will appreciate this. You see, not everybody understands this is the work of God. This is the church of God. You know, what's my part? What's my role? Can I fulfill that role? Can I contribute towards the overall growth of the church? It takes a lot of devotion. It's a lot of work. And 40 plus 2 years of work must be put in order for the church to become what it is today. Have you seen churches that have not grown? I have. Have you seen churches that have virtually died? Yes, I have. Have you seen churches that are so caught up with things? One day I spoke to a person and he says, we are having church elections next Sunday and I'm not attending. So I ask him, why? He says, well, once you are committed, it's for life, you know. It's like a life sentence. And usually on that Sunday, very few people want to be there because they don't want to be called to serve because you can't escape, as it were. What a sad way of looking at life. How big is the church many years later? 100 people. How long have you been there? 30 years. We need to see the church. It's untilled land that needs a lot of attention. Constantly planting, sowing, all the time. And praying that God would give that increase. And it's not easy. Every time we have children being born, well, we rejoice in the children. We are committed to seeing them grow up well. How long would that take? A whole lifetime. A whole lifetime. And they're all very different. And they all need the kind of attention that we must give to them. Okay, now here the second imagery Paul used was a very powerful one. It was a building imagery, and it fits right here where we are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, Paul talks about we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. And it is the church is described as a building. And it is an important thing. We have been looking at, with our architects, the design of the church. And you think that the design is easy to see. But there are problems and challenges there immediately. And it's a lot of work. You know, the church of God has to be a building. This week when I had to be away, I wondered how much the church would respond, how it would respond. And I was very, very deeply touched by the response that was there. It was, you know, people took the time and the trouble to write to express condolences. Right till today, there are people who are sending condolences. And every letter is appreciated. And I want to invite you, if possible, on the eve of our church anniversary on Saturday, we are going to have a combined young people, young adult AM, Khakis, you've been there, you were there also, Crossroads, you were there as well. I'd like you to be there this coming Saturday. Tell us if you are able to come. I think it would be wonderful if we can just come together as a church. Just to understand what it means to have this special sense of oneness. We are God's building. And it's important. Paul spoke of himself unabashedly, that he was the architect, according to the grace of God given to me as a wise master builder. I'm a wise master builder too. And as a church person, as the person who leads the church, as a senior pastor, I have to be the wise master builder. I have to understand what it means to lay the foundation. And these foundations have been laid over the years in terms of principles, in terms of practices, in terms of people, place. We need to have this thing. Somebody has to play that role. Not everybody appreciates the role of the master builder. And everybody thinks, well, I can do it just as well. Maybe that's true. But I think it's important for us that Paul saw himself as the wise master builder. And he had only these few things to say. And that is, he has to lay foundations. This is what we do with children, to lay foundations in the life of young people. Not everybody appreciates foundation being laid. But foundation work is so critically important. And we spend time laying foundations as a wise master builder. And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:10, and he says, you know, we just have to understand and be challenged by the grace of God given to me. It is not easy to be the wise architect, to be the wise master builder. Jolly mentioned these people, Kranga and Kima and people whom you do not know. But remember Ranga. And Ranga was there. And he, right from the start, and he was in the first year in orphanage, and he said, Pastor, I want to be just like you. One day I want to be a pastor just like you. He's 26 years old now. And he came as a young lad. His father was no more. The mother couldn't look after the child. She had to go to India to try to eke out a living. And the orphanage was all he knew. I remember how I took him to dinner one day over at a hotel I stayed at. And he said to me, Pastor, this is rich man's food. It was not. It was just simple, humble food we're so used to. But to him, this is rich man's food. I cannot imagine that I can be here today to sit and eat here. And now he is pursuing a master's degree so that he can serve the Lord better. It's been 20 years of laying foundation. There was one of the young men there, his name is called Roland, and he is musically absolutely talented. So he asked, Pastor, after I finish Bible school, can you send me to a place where I learn music? And I said, yes, go right ahead. And so he becomes a music teacher in our Bible school. And the other one that you know is Kukum. And you know, when he went back after being here, he was not understood. He just said, I want our church to be just like Bethany. And everybody thought he was just very high and mighty. They didn't understand him. And so he had to take 1 year off his studies. And he worked as a waiter. And then he asked, can I come back now? I want to finish my studies. And he went on to go to work in our orphanage from which he came. And then he says, I want to serve the Lord. What does it take to look at young lives? To give them foundational principles, to work with them, to support them, to encourage them, to tell them, you can make it. But as often, we need to know what kind of material we work with. And we need to choose between gold, silver, precious stones versus wood, hay, and straw or stubble. And in the qualities of life of people, it's unmistakable what each person is really like. If this person is gold, no matter what he goes through, he will be gold. And if he's silver, he will be silver. If he's precious stone, he will be. No matter what, he will be. And we build our church upon these principles. We look at gold, silver, and precious stones. It cannot be any less. I may not have been here this last 2 weeks, but it does not mean that the two bands had an easy time. This week, I will be reviewing the work that they were supposed to have done. And believe me, it is not easy work. And I keep on telling them, it's just going to get more challenging. It's going to get tougher. And it's going to be there. Gold, silver, precious stones. That's what we see them as. And they must not be afraid of the fire. They must not be afraid of the refining process. They must not be afraid of the work that must be done in their lives. And by the grace of God, the foundation that will be laid in their lives will one day help them to become that church building that will really stand out. Now, at the end of the day, each one's work will be tested by fire. Some people don't last very well. After a few years, they're gone. Each man's work will be tested. And you cannot run away from the reality whether the person is gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw. It is very, very obvious. That's what we want to see. The challenge for us is to build a church where there is quality work. Parents will have to do their part. And it's important. Gold, silver, precious stones are your children. What they become, they represent your work. The church can only see them as they are, polish them for what they are. That's it. We cannot convert. We don't practice alchemy. We cannot convert things into gold. This is straw. And we spin, and Rumpelstiltskin comes along and turns the straw into gold. there isn't a Rumpelstiltskin here. Straw will always be straw, no matter how you look at it. Wood, stubble, they will always be the same. But much depends on what we work with. And so if our commitment is to make sure that we lay the foundations right. Now I know a lot of people have said that I set very high standards. I don't set high standards. I only state them as the scriptures describe them. That's all I do. I don't set the standards. The standards have already been determined by the Lord and by the Apostle Paul a long, long time ago. Is quality good or bad? It's people promising and they will deliver, or they will just fizzle out and they will just disappear. That's our challenge. 40 plus 2 years later. And I want to say how greatly, greatly touched and I'm encouraged by your response this past week. You took the time and the trouble to write, and I appreciate that. And you wrote to say that I will be there, and you were there. And my sister records and tells me, he says, Pastor, there are a few people who were there, especially. And I think it's wonderful to say, to know who these are. They were there to cook meals. They were there to provide nourishment. They were there to, I wrote to my sister, make sure that you clear my elder sister's finances. But my sister doesn't drive, as some of you did. And you went to fetch her and to the banks, and so that all these things were looked into. There were small details, but everything that you have done, and I want you to know, they are deeply, deeply appreciated. So I wrote to my sister, all the gifts that have come, that will come in as condolence, every single gift will be given to church. We will not touch $1 from it, simply because this is our way of honoring you, the church, what you are. But of course, you know, I'm grateful for what we are as a church. I think this is wonderful. It is now known that our brother Chi Ming will enter into politics. While we are not involved in politics ourselves, we want him to know that we will stand with him and love him and pray for him, that he may serve our nation. This much you can be very assured of. This is what it means for us to be quality people. This is what it means for us to stand by you. You know, there were people will be raising issues. What happens if? What happens if? Whatever. Whatever it is, we want you to know we are solidly behind every single person who loves the Lord. That's what we want you to know. It doesn't matter whether you make it to be a minister or one way or the other. We will be there. That's what we want to say to each other. And it's what it means for us. And it is wonderful to see the sense of support and love that we have as a church. So when we celebrate our 40 plus 2 anniversary, to see the whole lot of us come together as one. And we are saying that we are one. We are gold. We are silver. We are precious stones. The foundations have been laid. We are God's field. We are God's husbandry. We are God's building. We are the temple of God. And God will give the increase. I look back 40 plus 2 years, and my heart very much is in pain because of the pneumonia my little granddaughter is suffering from. There is no question as to where my heart is. It is right here in the church of God, in this field, in this temple of God. And I'd like to be able to say to each one of you, as I look at you, to say, would you like to be part of that same building we call the Church of God? Now, I think this is important for us to understand and appreciate this. Can we be that church? Can we be that temple of God? And the answer must come from deep inside us. And if our hearts are gold, silver, and precious stones, the response will be astounding. We will be there, count to be counted upon to be that church. I think this is important. In an old film called Amazing Grace, William Wilberforce was in Parliament. And he was that very gifted person who was standing against the problem of slavery in the United Kingdom. Whereas US supported it, UK never allowed for slavery to be part of that system. William Wilberforce had one person who stood by him. And that's the person who wrote the beautiful hymn called Amazing Grace. And he stood with him and prayed with him and said to him, you must be that man of God there where it counts in Parliament, so that you can be there to lead. William Wilberforce wanted to be a pastor. And he was told that was not his calling. And because of that one man's special privileged position, led Britain away from slavery, away from cheap labor, away from a degrading society, to become the kingdom it was in its heydays. That's what we ought to be as a church. It's not about politics. It's about being there for each other. It's not about just being a congregation. It's being the temple of God, the building of God, God's work in our midst. And we want to say, we're glad and we're proud that we are privileged to be counted, to be called, to be that temple, to be that church. To all who serve with me as session members, I honor them. And I really, really take my hats off to the work that they have to do outside their own area of work. To the pastors, we work hard. This is our commitment. We will keep sowing and planting, laying the foundations, and praying that God will give us the increase. One last time, this last Sunday, let's come together and say, this is God's church. This is God's kind of church, where God is touching lives, and people care for people, and we are the people who will care for each other. And that's how we should be. And this is in the poem that I wrote about. It involved three people. One was Chenky. The other one was Daniel, and the other one was Hui Chin. That's what it means for us to be one. Quality people, good, solid, gold, silver, precious stones type people. And together, we can make our lives count for the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the grace that you've given to us to sustain this work for 42 years. Thank you, Father, for those whom you have raised up to become leaders. Thank you for those who stay in the background to do the work that they need to do, planting, sowing, doing their part, being gold, silver, precious stones. Lord, hear this our prayer and bless each heart. And I pray that you will help them to know that they are part of a great work that the Lord Jesus Christ himself began to build the church of God. Help us to understand the challenge, the thrill, the privilege of building this church till it is able to stand against the storms of life, against the wiles of the evil one. and having done all, to stand. We pray that you would bless. We ask you, Lord, to bless us as we celebrate 42 years of your goodness and of your blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give a love gift for the Lord's work. This morning, as I give you the benediction, I'll be only able to use my right hand. I cannot lift my left hand because of a frozen shoulder problem, and I cannot lift it up without tremendous pain. So I'm just going to ask you to understand this as I give the Lord's benediction. And now may this great and wonderful love of God that enable us to understand and appreciate our salvation in Christ Jesus, that love be the theme of our life always. May the love of the Lord Jesus Christ fill our hearts. That love that passes all understanding. May the Spirit of God enable us to understand that love outpoured and bind us together as the church, filled with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ until he returns for us. To him be glory now and forever. Amen.